to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are at the spot, the location, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Jane McCampbell Stewart. She's in Italy. Jane is a licensed therapist, a certified EMDR therapist, a certified coach, and spiritual consultant. She specializes in the intersection of trauma and spirituality, working with bright, motivated clients who are ready for the journey, a journey of healing the past, understanding the present, and changing the future for the better. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Jane?
I am well. Thank you so much, April. And just professionally, I need to correct a couple of those alphabet soup acronyms. So it's CPCC is the second one. That's my coach certification.
Okay, forgive me for that. So tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Okay, so yeah, I am a licensed therapist, certified coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and also spiritual consultant. And I blend all of those services into doing one-on-one work and also into training of coaches, therapists, medical professionals, anybody who holds sacred space. And I specialize in the healing of trauma and PTSD. So that's most of the work that I do in the one-on-one, and that I teach other professionals how to recognize and how to work with in their own practices.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your history.
So I think anybody who goes into the therapy space kind of goes into it as a intention to try and understand and make sense of their own story. And so, of course, mine was no different from that. I actually grew up in a very religious community. My parents were missionaries and didn't earn money for their work. We had to pray all of our money in the door. And sometimes it came in and sometimes it didn't come in. And when it did come in, usually it went straight out again because somebody needed shoes or the car had broken down or that kind of situation. So I was really determined that I was never going to be reliant on anybody else for my money. And so I went off to business school. I got a career in marketing communications, which I really loved. But there was still this nagging thing that I wanted to, A, be doing something a little more meaningful in the world, and I was still trying to make sense of my family and also of my spirituality. And so when I got laid off and realized, suddenly making one's own money isn't always as easy as relying on a corporation. I went back to school. I did a marriage and family therapy master's degree, and not just any old school, but also in a seminary so that I could really figure out what was the deal with the spirituality and how could I try and make sense of that.
Okay. So a lot of people confuse spirituality with religion. Can you define the two for us?
That's an interesting question. I think religion is more about a set of rules and regulations, whereas I think spirituality is more about relationship and how we relate to each other as humans, how we relate to the world around us, how we relate to God, spirit, source, or whatever we think is out there in the unseen.
No, totally understand. I agree. Talk about trauma. All of us have experienced some sort of trauma in our life, be it, you know, a bad hangnail or a devastating loss of a loved one or a pet. How do you help people recover and heal from trauma? I think people learn to, me personally, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I don't have a bunch of letters under my name, but I do have common sense. And with that common sense, I've learned to see people that have had trauma. They learn to deal with it, cope with it, and never actually heal. And what I mean like heal is if you have a wound, you have a cut, you know, it will come back together and it will be flawless. I don't know how that works with trauma. I think that that's kind of embedded in our soul contract, and that's something that we have to carry through. Explain that for me, please.
So I believe that the first part of healing trauma is actually having somebody name it and be able to see it. So you gave the example of a cut. If you pretend you don't have the cut and you ignore it, it's just going to get infected. And then you might end up losing that part of your body wherever you got the cut. And so, yes, we do squash a lot of trauma. And if we squash it and don't name it and don't see it and often don't even know that it is trauma, it's going to come out sideways and then it's going to show up in different ways. And so often when we talk about trauma and PTSD, people have this idea of the brooding veteran holding his glass of bourbon and dealing with nightmares every night, thinking back in Vietnam. And because we think that's what trauma is, we don't necessarily recognize that what we have is what trauma is. And so to have somebody actually say, wow, actually, that sounds a little bit like trauma, and to normalize the experience and explain why their brain and their body is responding in the way that it is just incredibly helpful. And then once it's named and we can understand why it's there, then we can get to the root of it and then do the healing work. And our brains and our bodies are so incredibly predisposed to heal that if we just have the right facilitation, it is possible to do that healing work.
Well, that's good. But also, with that healing work, it also takes other participants, counselors, coaching, family members, support. And then, after you come out on the other side, the realization of who you are and what you've been through. Do you work with people on that part of the journey as well?
I do, yes. So most of my client load these days actually is other coaches, therapists, medical professionals, people who are offering this work in the world. Because when we want to do the work of healing it, we also need to get in touch with it in ourselves. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to see it or we're not going to be able to be with it. So I will do the work with the healers of the world so that they can be with their own stuff and then go on and be able to offer that healing to those that they're working with.
That takes a lot. It's a lot of heavy lifting. Who pours into you and keeps you stable?
I have a beautiful husband, first of all, just the most lovely, wonderful man in the world who feeds me and takes care of our house and takes care of our cats and has dinner on the table when I come downstairs from my office. I have a beautiful spiritual community of other Akashic Records practitioners and healers. And then I have and therapists from all around the world, a really broad spectrum of people that I speak with professionally and also personally.
Okay, well, that's wonderful because we all need someone to lean on. Absolutely. So, Akashic Records. I've had one or two guests that have shared the Akashic Records. Tell us a little bit about that for the people that don't know.
So the Akashic Records, every tradition has some kind of form of what we call the Akashic Records, or some kind of idea of a book of life. I think they call it in some cultures, which is basically that there's this energetic imprint of everything that happens or that could happen, and that by working with a client and asking for their permission, you can then enter into a prayerful spiritual place where you can open up their Akashic Record and ask for information from the Akasha, the record keepers, that might be helpful to bring through for that client's journey in the moment. So some people do that as their main practice. The place where I do it is really specifically related to their trauma and finding roots of what I need to go in and heal to be able to make the process a little more streamlined for them.
And a lot of times these are epigenetics. These are generational traumas. They may not be ours per se. They might have been our grandmothers or our great grandmothers. And through our lineage and our teachings, this has been passed down to us. How do we separate other people's stuff?
Well, it's still our stuff because it's in us and it's still part of our DNA and our genetic makeup. One of the ways that I work with it is to help recognize, did this come down the generational line? Does it belong to somebody else's story? And often, if we can honor the story and honor the person who went through this, and then even just honor the ancestors and say, yeah, I live on through you. Your DNA is living on through me, and your story is still alive with me. And I want to acknowledge you for your story. Can be incredibly healing for going back up the line. And then Also for us, so very often we come into the world with our own narratives where we think, oh, I was unwanted, or I'm unlovable, or I didn't get what I needed. And when we can look at it in the bigger context of what was going on for our family and for our ancestors when we came into the world, it feels a lot less personal. We can say, oh, this isn't about me being unwanted or unlovable. I just arrived at a really inconvenient moment for everybody, and this is what went down. And that context that we can bring to everybody's story is so beautiful and honoring, I think, to those of us who are here now and those of us who have passed.
People have to also understand that they have to show up and do the work. You can facilitate all you want, but if you don't stay up with the practice, if you are not true to it, if you don't believe in it, then there is a whole nother set of circumstances. How does this, do you work, when you work with individuals, you know, like again, they have contributing factors. They have children, they have in-laws, they have a spouse. Do you do group trauma therapy, or do you just work pretty much one-on-one, or it's based upon the individual situation?
So I am trained as a marriage and family therapist. So the premise of that is that we all belong in a system. And so you impact one part of the system and it's going to impact the rest of the system. So I am always coming with a systemic lens, and the systemic lens says, why does this symptom make sense? So what symptom is this serving in the relationship in the larger family system? And so with that again brings greater context, greater understanding for them and their family system. But you can do family therapy with just one individual. You don't have to have the whole family in front of you to be able to significantly impact that person's life and the lives of the people they're with. So short answer, I just work with individuals, but the ripple effect is wide.
Well, you know, just sometimes find people find that in contrast. You know, you might be working with a woman that is really working hard on self-esteem, and she goes home to an alcoholic husband. There's, you know, I don't know how she actually, you know, can deal with that. But again, you're the trained expert. I don't know. There's other contributing factors and forces, so we have to be aware of that. So let's ask you some fun facts because I like to get into that. And so people get to know you a little bit better outside of the work that you do. Where in the country are you again? In
I'm in British Columbia, Canada.
Okay, you're in Canada. Oh, I love Canada. Yeah, I used to work in Canada. If I came to visit you right now, where would you take me?
I would take you on a tour of my island.
Okay, BC, that would be nice.
Yeah, and probably we'd hop on a boat to one of the neighboring islands and go and visit one of the wineries there. And we might play a bit of pickleball on a Sunday morning. I'd probably allow my husband to cook for you because he's a really great cook and his ramen is to die for. I will dance around the living room when he makes ramen.
Oh, I know. I do that when my husband makes enchiladas. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Jane, what appliance would you be and why?
I would probably be my big KitchenAid mixer, which I hardly ever use, but I love it because it makes it look as though I know what I'm doing. It's shiny and it's red and it's just a really fun talking point.
You've had experience with doing past life regressions with individuals, so you are familiar with the past. You live here in the present. Where would you land if you had an opportunity to time travel? Would you go back to the past, stay here in the present, or move towards the future?
I'd actually want to be here right now.
Yeah.
I love the gift of the place where I am right now is so beautiful. And if I would come back as something else, I would come back as my husband's cat.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If your words had an odor, what would they smell like?
They'd smell like a really rich risotto. That's just been stirred and gently tended to and infused with love and taken 45 minutes to come to its beautiful, creamy, wonderful space.
If you had three magical wishes, what would they be?
You know, I think I've already had them.
Yeah.
I do. So that picture behind me, I hung that on my office wall when I lived in downtown St. Paul in the Twin Cities. And clients asked me what it was for, and I said, that is my vision board. I said, I want to work from home and I want to look out on that view.
Yeah, I know. You showed me the view that you have outside of the window, and it's pretty much almost on point.
Thank
Spot
you.
on.
It's my wish. It's funny. I subscribe to a little daily meditation thing called the Universe, and they send you a little note. And when you first sign up, you put in what your wishes are. And so it's still got the wishes that I had in 10 years ago. And every so often, it will populate those wishes in. And I just think, oh, I have
Oh, how
that.
wonderful. All your experience, your training, your trauma, what has that cost you and what has it bought you?
This question actually gives me the chills because anything that it's cost me has come back to me a hundredfold. So it cost me a career in marketing communications, but I love my career now. It cost me a church community. I actually got excommunicated from the church for some of my ways of thinking about the world. But it's brought back this tremendous global spiritual community that I'm a part of. It cost me my first marriage, but I am now married to the most beautiful, fantastic, wonderful man in the world that I could never have asked for anything more. So there have been costs, and but as I say, yeah, everything's just come back bigger and better when I have finally let things go. So it's kind of taught me not to be afraid of letting things go.
That's good. That's huge because people are not risk takers. They're afraid they get stuck in the silo, and it ends up being a deafening echo chamber. You keep having that same negative conversation with yourself. You never want to branch out. You never want to step out. You know, fear is only false expectations appearing real. But in that same token, fear is a way of signaling us and a way of establishing boundaries. What are some of the boundaries that you have?
I teach a lot about boundaries. As one of the it's the first thing I teach people in my trauma classes, is that trauma is a boundary violation. And so if you're going to treat it and work with it, you need to have really good boundaries yourself, which is about what is yours and what belongs to somebody else. And I have daily rituals and exercises where I'm making sure that my energetic space is really, really clear, and that I am communicating clearly about what's mine to do. I'm not stepping into what is somebody else's to do. I am allowing as much as I can, everybody else to be a fully agentic whole human being and not trying to take on what is their responsibility. Yeah, just teaching people that clear boundaries kind of sit in the middle between being sort of completely open and letting everything in, or just saying, hey, that's way too much, and then closing it down. That we do actually have the ability to hold our own boundary, even if somebody else is not operating with clear boundaries themselves.
Exactly. And being able to hold that space for ourselves, sit in that seat and feel comfortable. You have just been a wealth of information. I appreciate you so much. Tell my brains if you have any current offerings, how to get in contact with you, and how to follow you on social media.
Okay, so yeah, my website is therapyjane.com. The current offerings I do have, I've got some classes for anybody who holds sacred space. So that could be coaches, wellness professionals, chaplains, therapists, medical professionals, any of those people who want to learn how to recognize trauma, heal it in themselves, and then work on it with their clients. I've got a couple of offerings coming up in June. And I also do one-on-one work. I have one-time healing sessions. So if you've got one thing that triggers you that you would love me to find the root of and unhook it, I will do that. I also offer ongoing therapy where we start with a big deep dive, a big plan, and then we work every other week for about 6 months to clean everything up. So all of those are on the table. And I welcome reach outs from peers or anybody wanting me to come into their organizations.
Well, brains, I'm telling you, you don't know what you don't know. And so I highly recommend that you give Jane a call, take a look, take the discovery call, look in the mirror at yourself. There's no judgment. We all have stuff. Absolutely. There's not one person that is not touched. The challenge is recognizing, dealing with it, and moving forward. Okay. We don't want to be one of those hurt people that hurt other people. We don't want to go through our lives with unanswered questions. There might be something in your ancestry that's really, again, a part of your stuff because of your lineage, but it's not actually something that you did, but something that was delegated down to you. So do the work, be the best person that you can be. Put a beautiful picture on your wall, and maybe it'll come true. Thank you so much, Jane, for being here on the edge. Brains, I need you to go in, love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on all the major hotspots: LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Apple, iHeart. I could sing them to you. And we really want you to live your best life. Thank you so much, Jane, for being here on the edge with us. We value you and we appreciate you.
Thank you. Value you too.